Praise be Christ the King on this, the glorious feast of the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Almighty God has endowed our speaker with many outstanding talents, an awesome scholastic record, the many very important books he has written, 23 years of work for the Holy See, the over 600 priests he has trained, the multitude of students he has taught, the thousands of adult educational classes and catechetical instructions he has given, and the thousands of hours he has spent adoring our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. How has he used them? A steadily increasing army of Catholic volunteers, including many converts, so filled with fervor that they are now laboring in Christ's vineyard by using their talents, as did the early Christians, to nourish and spread the faith to others, is proof positive that he has used his talents to produce a hundredfold. The Truth Crusade, sponsored by Eternal Life, is privileged and honored to present this holy, humble, intellectual giant, a true, loyal, devoted son of his father in faith, St. Ignatius, a priest who really meant it when he took a vow of loyalty to the reigning Holy Father, a brilliant, shining example of a Jesuit worthy of the name.
Suppose we start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Mother of the Holy Family, pray for us. Contraception and eternal death. The moment we announce this subject, contraception and eternal death, the title, to say the least, sounds very strange. What can we possibly mean? We mean exactly what we say. The practice of contraception is a grave sin. Those who indulge in the practice are in danger of losing their immortal souls. To believe this is to be a true Christian. To deny this is to abdicate one's Christian heritage. Needless to say, this is difficult language. Even more, for many people, it is intolerable language. But no, difficult or intolerable, as the language may seem, it is the truth. My purpose in this talk is to prove that historic Christianity has always held, holds now, and always will hold, that contraception is a serious, grave, mortal offense against God. Unless repented, it is punishable by eternal deprivation of the vision of God, which I call eternal death. The teaching of the Church in apostolic times. Historians agree that contraception is a social practice which goes back to centuries before Christ. Medical papyri describing contraceptive methods are as old as 2700 B.C. in China and 1850 B.C. in Egypt. In the Roman Empire, that is, the Roman Empire of the first century of the Christian era, contraception was universally approved and just as universally practiced by the people, as might be expected. The followers of Christ were faced from the beginning with a hard choice. If they wanted to remain faithful to Christ's teaching, they had to. No option. They had to avoid contraception. In the vocabulary of the day, contraceptive practice was referred to as using magic or using drugs. It was in this sense that the first century teaching of the 12 apostles warns Christians in 4 successive precepts. You shall not use magic. You shall not use drugs. You shall not procure abortion. You shall not destroy an unborn child. This document, I repeat, teaching of the 12 apostles, written about the year 90 A.D. The sequence of these 4 prohibitions is significant. We know from the record of those times that women would first try some magical rites or use sorcery to avoid conception. When this failed, they would take one or another of the then, and I counted them, 17 medically approved contraceptives. If a woman still became pregnant, she would then try to resort to abortion. And if even this failed, she and her male partner could always resort to infanticide, which was universally approved by the then Roman law. Christians were warned not to follow the example of their pagan contemporaries, who, as the faithful were told, walk in darkness and the shadow of death. Christians were absolutely forbidden to practice contraception, which, they were told, leads to abortion, which leads to infanticide. Let me repeat. Already in the first century of the Christian era, those who accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior were told, "You may not. It is contrary to the express will of God to practice contraception." From Apostolic Times to Humani Vitae. The next 19 centuries. The litany of the Church's teaching on artificial birth control was never interrupted. Popes and saints and scholars, speaking and writing in different words and from a variety of perspectives, all taught the same thing. Contraception is a grave sin that no one, absolutely no one who claims to be a follower of Christ may perform. Out of a library of witnesses to this doctrine, St. Augustine wrote a whole treatise on a very strange subject, conjugal adultery. In this classic work, Augustine declared, and I quote, "Intercourse with one's legitimate wife is unlawful and wicked whenever the conception of offspring is prevented." In our own day, when recently, our present Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, repeated verbatim St. Augustine's statements about contraception as marital adultery, and I mean every syllable of the next sentence, he was crucified by the world media. That is why no one should have been surprised at the reception, or better, the rejection, that Pope Paul VI encyclical, Humanae Vitae, received in 1968. Even the hierarchies of one nation after another held meetings, solemn conclaves, in which these bishops, may God forgive them, met to review the teachings of Humanae Vitae. Sad to say, many of these hierarchies refused to agree with the Vicar of Christ. Years ago, Pope Paul VI appealed to the conscience of the world when he warned, as he said, about the consequences of practicing artificial birth control. He was writing indeed as the Vicar of Christ and the head of the Catholic Church, founded by the Savior. But he was speaking to human beings, appealing to their reason. He warned the world, and his warning was prophetic. What have been the consequences of contraception in one once civilized nation after another? These consequences have been myriad, but I would give especially seven results, which I would like to list in sequence. Fornication, adultery, sterilization, homosexuality, AIDS, the breakdown of the family, and the murder of the unborn. At the risk of repeating the obvious, let me briefly show how contraception inevitably leads to these seven tragedies that now haunt the modern world. One nation after another that had been Christian has been de-Christianized. One once civilized nation after another has become paganized. Fornication. How can we expect unmarried people to practice chastity if married people are allowed to practice mutual masturbation which is my favorite name for contraception. This touches on the heart. I repeat, not merely of Christian, but of sane morality. Intercourse is a divinely instituted means for married people to cooperate with God in procreating children. It is also the divinely provided means of fostering mutual love between husband and wife. But contraception does just the opposite. It deliberately prevents the conception of a child, and it fosters, how well I know, it fosters not mutual love, but mutual selfishness. Is it any wonder that our country is plagued with fornicators who indulge their sex passions while avoiding the responsibilities of parenthood? Adultery. So too with adultery. How can a husband respect a wife who insists on using contraceptives? And correspondingly, how can a wife respect a husband who refuses to accept the duties of fatherhood? Contraceptive relations between two married people are a lie. And we repeat, contraceptive relations between two married people are a lie. They pretend to love one another. Oh, love, how many crimes are committed in your name. In reality, they're not loving each other. Love means giving. Love means surrendering. Love means sacrificing. A couple that practice contraception are using one another in what I honestly believe could be called prostitution. The history of mankind is clear. Contraception in marriage leads to infidelity in either or in both partners. And I might add, naturally. Why limit sex activity to one spouse if no commitment to having or raising children is the consequence of intercourse? Sterilization. We do not ordinarily associate contraception with sterilization, but we better. It is one thing to use contraception as an occasional malpractice. It is something else and more treacherous when people have themselves sterilized to avoid even fathering or mothering a child. Yet massive sterilization in a country like the United States has become commonplace. Now the discovery of a 5-year synthetic hormone contraceptive gives carte blanche to any teenager or adult willing to have it surgically implanted under the skin. I would like to, but I will not mention the name of one of the largest school systems in America that is doing just that at taxpayers' expense. The sterilizing hormone is implanted under the skin in young girls' arms. And, of course, no parental permission is needed. This opens the door to an epidemic of sexually transmitted diseases whose ratio is already sky high in once Christian United States. Homosexuality. The relationship between contraception and homosexuality is seldom adverted to, and in homosexual circles is openly denied. Yet these two are connected by the most basic laws of human society. Contraception contradicts the most fundamental desire of the human heart, to give oneself in total generosity to another human being. Marital relations are meant by God to satisfy this desire between the married spouses. But if women selfishly withhold this generosity from men, men will, as they are doing, tragically look for such generosity in other men. And men will look for it. Men in other men, and women in other women. As you read some of the gay and lesbian literature, you are moved to tears at seeing how a contraceptive society has begotten a homosexual society. In their desperate search for love, men will turn to other men and women to other women. To say that they are being deceived is only to emphasize the pity of a sodomistic culture that is starving for love. Love that contraception deprives them of finding in a marriage of two people of opposite and complementary gender. And the professional writings, whole books, associating as cause and effect contraception and homosexuality are removed from libraries, and their authors are pilloried for daring to claim what everyone who knows human nature understands. Contraception is depriving one's married partner of love. And homosexuals, I know well, are starving for love.